We just want to say, if you haven't been here, or if this is your first time here, raise your hand. Okay. Well, we do have one person that's never been here. And we're going to introduce him right now. Mr. Camden Ari Morris. He came at his time. Courtney called, was it Tuesday morning? Tuesday morning at 6 o'clock. She said, "We're on our way to the hospital." I said, "Okay, we're going to have a baby real soon." Well, what, 28 to 30 hours later? He made his presence at his time. But God is good. Amen? Okay, you can go ahead and sit down. All right, who's ready for the word? Amen. Amen. Get ready, because here comes Pastor.
Good morning. Good to see everyone this morning. We're glad you're here. We appreciate the Lord for His goodness and thank God for all of you being here today. We're going to be continuing in our study, Yom Kippur, the Atonement. We're going to be dealing with that today, getting ready for tomorrow evening. We're going to begin to just allow the presence of God to get us ready, prepare our hearts. And then we're going to start in the evening. Will be our fast. And I'll give you all the details on all of that going through all of this. It's very important that you understand that through Scripture. Because at this time and this season is the time that we're going to be able to recognize and prepare our hearts for the return of the Lord. I mean, you know, He will return. Our long-awaited King is going to take His place in the throne. And it'll happen at this time. And so this is important. The time of the September, October time of the year is when the Lord will return. And we must be prepared. So the Scripture doesn't leave us in the dark about it. It shows us there. It's clearly seen. And so we'll take some time this morning to go over all of this with you, dealing with Yom Kippur and the Day of Atonement. Looking at all of those things, I think, is going to be of value. And just want to welcome everyone here today. I pray that you'd be open in your understanding toward the Scripture. Allow God to minister to your heart and teach you what needs to be learned here today. How many of you know we serve a great God? And He wants the best for us, the absolute best. And so this is some of the areas that we're going to be dealing with today in the Yom Kippur study. First of all, in 1 John, I want you to turn there. 1 John chapter 1. We're going to look through several verses there, going into the second chapter. I'll read this text to you. And just to show you what we're ultimately going to receive in this Day of Atonement. So in 1 John, just to set our tone here for us to get into this study, and I can tell you this is going to give you an opportunity to grow in the Lord, to see and understand these principles of God's Word, dealing with the Yom Kippur scripture. So 1 John chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, you could turn there. If not, I have it on the overhead for you to look at. It says this: "What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write, so that our joy may be made complete. This is the passage we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That's important to remember that section of scripture. Verse 8, he says, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And starting that second chapter, he says, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. When I read this text, there's something about it that's just amazing to me. But I want you to see something that we have to recognize, or we won't participate in the Yom Kippur. If once you come to Christ and you have you made a confession of the Lord, we have to recognize for sure that we still have sin. And that sin is being covered by the blood, but it's going to be completed at the final day or the last day. Now, we know that it means we're born again, and we can live that out. We live that out. But we have to at least recognize that we have sinned and that we are sinners and we're saved by the grace of God. Now, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. So we know that that's not what we practice, but we can never forget that's where we come from. That's who we are. We're born into sin, and so therefore we need the atoning blood of Jesus every day of our life, every day. And this is important. So this time of the year, it's not that this day or this celebration that we're celebrating is the only time that we can have atonement. We have atonement every day through Christ. But this is what they had to practice in the Torah. They had to practice this because only once a year could the high priest go in for them. That was it. And so this is important. So let me give you this chart. And in the chart, you'll see there's what we've been talking about. And so you'll be able to, again, this is just a reminder. You've seen this on when I was doing the Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets, a series when we looked at that. So we see that the Passover, the unleavened bread, the first fruits, and Pentecost have already been fulfilled. They're already done. Jesus came on Passover. We see that he died. That was the death. The unleavened bread was the burial. The first fruit was the resurrection. And the Pentecost was the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts when the Pentecost 50 days later. So all of those feasts have been fulfilled. Now, we have to ask ourselves, is he going to fulfill the last three? Well, if we read in the scripture, we find that he says he will. And we see that, and this is what we have to recognize. We have to start recognizing when we read the scripture where we find these feasts represented. And I can tell you, you'll see that in the book of Revelation. At the end time, it talks about trumpets, Feast of Yom Teruah. It talks about the Day of Atonement, atoning, Yom Kippur. So those times will be fulfilled, and it's going to be soon, and very soon. If you and I don't recognize that, we'll get ourselves in trouble. Yom HaKippurim is the it's when it's in the plural form, because how many know there's more than one atonement? Now, we're going to focus mainly on one, but I want you to see this in the scripture. Leviticus 16:33, he says this, and make an atonement for the holy sanctuary. So you're going to make a Yom Kippur for the holy sanctuary, And he shall make atonement for the tent of meetings. Notice that. So you see how many atonements. This is where you get that Yom HaKippurim. Is looking at it in the plural sense. He says that he shall also make atonement for the priests and for all the people of the assembly. In Leviticus 16, 10, 6 and 10, through 10 says, then Aaron shall offer the bull for the sin offering, which is for himself. Notice that. So what does he do? He offers the bull for the sin offering, which is for himself. And he may make atonement for himself and for his household. Verse 7, and he shall take two goats and present them before the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting. So we have the bull sacrificed for himself, and then the two goats which will be presented to the Lord at the door. Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. And we're going to be dealing with that maybe tonight. We'll deal with the scapegoat. And you want to be here for that because it's really going to start connecting the dots. If you've been in any of our teachings here in the last few months, you're going to see when we talk about the scapegoat how all of that connects, especially when I talk about Azazel is what that word is in the Hebrew. So we want to look at that. It's very important. Then Aaron shall offer the goat on which the lot for the Lord fell and make it a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot for the scapegoat fell shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it and send it into the wilderness as the scapegoat. And we're going to be dealing with that tonight in the service. So you want to be here for that. Now, let's look at the different names when we're looking at Yom Kippur. So we have, and obviously you know that one, Yom Kippur. You've heard me say it many times in the last few services, the Day of Atonement. We have what's called also the face-to-face. The face-to-face, that's important to understand. Also the Day or Great Day. The Day or Great Day. And that's making reference to the end time. Then we have the fast. I mean, you know that it's important to understand the fast of Yom Kippur. And that's what we're going to be dealing with here in just a short period of time. Then we have the great shofar and then the closing of the gate. So these are some that we're going to be referencing back and forth as we go through the study. But I want to point out and talk to you this morning about the face-to-face. I want to start with that one, and we'll bounce around on this entire list looking at it. But how many of you know the face-to-face was important? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 12. There's something here that I believe that's significant for us to see and to understand. It says this in that 12th verse, For now we see in a mirror dimly. For right now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Notice that. But then face to face. When is that face to face going to happen? So when I'm reading this text, if I'm in a Hebrew mindset, I'll automatically know that when I read the words face to face from the Brit Hadashah, which is the New Testament, I automatically would say that's the Day of Atonement or the Yom Kippur. I would say that. But in our Western thinking, we don't get that when we read that word face to face. That's why I want to teach about it so we can start understanding what's happening right now. For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now, right now, I know in part. But then I will be known fully just as I also have been fully known. So we're talking about a day of completeness, a day where it's going to be absolutely amazing. And this is important. Let me tell you, it's of great value that we understand these principles and we don't lose sight to what he's talking about or dealing with when it comes to the face-to-face. Now, this is a value because we're dealing with Yom Kippur and the Day of Atonement, noticing these feasts and the fulfillment of these feasts is going to be absolutely critical. Absolutely critical. So I want you to keep this in mind as we go through these scripture as they minister to your heart. Now look at the next one. It says this in Exodus 34, 29 through 32. And it came about when Moses was coming from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of testimony were in Moses' hand as he was coming down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because of his speaking with him. Now, who was he speaking with? He was speaking with Yahweh, with God. He had this encounter. Now, he didn't realize that his face had shone because of his speaking with him. So when Aaron and all the sons of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, that they were afraid to come near him. So, you know, I point that out because it's important to understand when you're dealing with the atonement and you describe it as the face to face. Now, I want you to give some time for this development this morning so you'll see what this is all about. In this particular instance, when Moses went up on the mountain, this was the second time he had went up on the mountain, not the first. And if you remember, and I maybe could talk a little bit more about it tonight, the first time he went up on the mountain was at the time of the Feast of Pentecost. That's kind of what that is a resemblance of, or when the first event ever happened. And when he was up there, the children of Israel spoke to Aaron and said, "Why don't you make us a calf so we can worship?" And so when he come down, the first tablets, they were broken. So there had to be a return trip. So the first 40 days that he was up there communing with God, God gave him the commandments. But the second time deals with the Day of Atonement. Because why did he go back up? He said, "I need to go back up because I fear God will destroy all of you." And we want to really deal with that later. Maybe we can get to it some point today in the message. But I want to talk about when he goes up on this face-to-face encounter, when he comes back, his face shines because he's done had this encounter with God. And then what did Moses say? He said, "Lord," he said, "if you don't want, whatever you do," he said, "don't destroy the people." But he said, "I pray that you blot my name out of the book of life." Now, let me tell you something. That's a very powerful statement from a man named Moses. Some folks, you know, we don't want to put up with just folks what we like sometime. This guy put his whole life on the line, and I think it's given us a picture of what Christ would see. Because see, we have Moses who come, but he said there's one who's going to come from that same family, from that line. And he'll come, and when he comes, he's going to be able to bring us that understanding. And we obviously, they were talking about Messiah. And when Messiah come, let me tell you, a difference happened. Because he did exactly what Moses showed. He went up there and he said, "Blot my name out." But God replied to him and said, "Listen, I'm not going to blot your name out." And he said, "I'm going to blot the names out who continually sin against me." So we have to realize that on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, that you and I realize it's a time that we are sensitive before God. We look at our lives, examine our lives, and prepare our hearts for what's to come. It's very important. So, again, just laying this foundation out. The next thing that we want to look at that we have to remember about this Yom Kippur, this Day of Atonement, is the fast. The fast. The Day of Atonement is on the 10th day of the first month, and it shall be a holy convocation. And that word convocation is simply a rehearsal. It's a rehearsal. So keep that in mind. This is the most solemn assembly. It's the most solemn assembly that the children of Israel had been directed to have. He said, and it's going to be a day of fasting. A day of fasting. So we have to look into the scripture. In the book of Acts, chapter 27, will help us out, because when we look into the New Testament, here's what most people say. They say, "Well, you know, I understand all them Jewish feasts and all that stuff, but we don't have to do all that simply because Jesus came." Well, let me just tell you that not only did Jesus come, but he kept the feast when he was here. And Paul kept the feast when he was here. So that tells me something, that they didn't do away with them. They're to be kept as reminders of what the event's going to, when the event happens. So what event, what is so important about keeping Yom Kippur? What is so important about understanding the Day of Atonement, the face-to-face, or the day of a fast? What is important about that? Because it will be the season in which the Lord returns. And the sad thing is the church seems like they're sleeping and have no idea that this event is going to take place at this particular time. And we need to wake up.
Yes.
Amen? So listen, this face-to-face encounter, we've seen it's a type with Moses. Then we have the fast. But look at this. Go to the next one for me. Acts 27 verse 9 says, When considerable time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous, since even the fast was already over, Paul began to admonish them. Now, that verse there is critical, because if you understand Hebrew thought, if you understand when somebody speaks around a certain time of the year, you'll be able to relate to that. And I gave you some examples the last few services, but how many know that people's language usually change, or their way of speaking changes with different times of the year? That's what it does. So just for, you know, some people might use sports, so they might make reference to different holidays. But just use the sports, for example. If it's time for the sports season and somebody accomplishes something on the job, they might say, man, I hit a home run today. And it doesn't mean they play baseball. It's just because their language and the way they speak is surrounded around the season that's being in. Or maybe somebody may say, man, I scored a touchdown today. They don't play football, but they're using that terminology because it's the season. And so people start thinking in whatever the season is. So here Paul says, listen, we're about to go. Now, he said that time had done went on past the fast. How many know what the fast is? That would be Yom Kippur. So Paul was a keeper of the Yom Kippur. He was a keeper of it. And he said, that fast is over. We are ready to the dangerous time of the year. So we should, this voyage, we got to be careful. So we automatically know when we read Acts here. Now, most folks, you read through that because we have no Hebraic understanding. We read the scripture with the Gregorian calendar in mind. We read the scripture with a Western mindset, and we don't understand that it was written to a Hebraic people. That we're not going to change that. Just because we get saved and we get our own church, we're not going to change that. They don't get grafted into the Western church. We get grafted in to the Hebraic. How many understand that? We're the ones get grafted in. And we got to be thankful for that. So keep this in mind when you're studying the scripture, when you come across a verse like this, and I wanted to put that there to point it out to you. And I'm going to deal with this fast because that's what we're about to do. In the evening, we'll start our fast, and we'll fast to the next evening, and we'll show you where that is dealing with this Yom Kippur scripture. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 29 says this, "This shall be a permanent statute for you. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall humble your souls and do not any work, whether the native or the alien who sojourns among you." Now that last phrase is important, because when he talks about the alien and the one who sojourns, he's not talking about those who are native to Israel. He's talking about those who just sojourn with them. Now, does God have a different set of rules for the sojourner? No, it's all the same. So exactly, listen, if you're going to hook up with God, he's not going to have a set of rules for you. You're going to have to follow his rules. It's not going to be, we understand you're not from here, so we're going to give you a break. There is no break. If you go with God, you got to go by God's rules. How many understand that? And so that's what he's referring to here. Now, when he talks about this, he said, "This shall be a permanent statute." Can it change? No, permanent means permanent. How many ever had these permanent markers? And you know, after that permanent markers came out, they came out with the ones that you can erase. right? They're black. And so they're both black. But if you take that board that you write on with the black that you can erase and you write on it and you take your little thing and you go, there it goes. But then somebody comes along who doesn't know and they take the permanent black on your brand new board and they write on it and then they take the eraser and nothing happens. You know why? It's permanent. That's why they call it that. This is permanent. I'm not going to change it. You're not going to change it. Your priest ain't going to change it. The Pope ain't going to change it. Nobody's going to change if God says it's permanent. Amen. How many understand that? And so we're to keep it. This don't go away because Jesus came. Did Jesus said, I come to change the statue? No, he said, I come to fulfill the law. I'm not going to change anything. I'm going to fulfill this. I'm going to show you and live it out. And that's what he's talking about here. So we see that this shall be a permanent statue for you. In the seventh month, if we think Gregorian, right, what month? July. Is he talking about July here? No, he's talking about the month of Tishri. The month of Tishri would equate to our September. Hence, this is why I'm talking about it. We're in September. We're going to celebrate Yom Kippur, start tomorrow. Tomorrow evening we'll be here in church. When you get here at 7 o'clock, begins the fast. We're going to fast, we're going to have service, we're going to pray and seek the Lord. And then the next day, at 7 o'clock, we're going to break the fast. We're going to have a full day fast. Why is that? Because we want to honor and we want to make sure that we keep the permanent statue. Amen? Amen? Now, the sad thing about it is across the world today, most Christian folk don't know nothing about this. And they ought to. It's a travesty. I don't know what we are thinking about or what we're trying to do, preaching on this and that, and nobody's trained in the scripture. So what happens? The Lord will return and nobody's going to be ready. Nobody's going to be expecting the return around this time of the year. They think he can come anytime. That's what folks say. Well, you know, he can come anytime. Well, not according to the word. If you read the scripture, he can't come anytime. He can only come when he appoints his time to come. He has an appointed time. Could you have Passover on any other time but the day God appointed Passover? Listen, Jesus was around many days, but they couldn't take him and they couldn't kill him until the Passover. Because it was appointed by God. Now, they put him in a tomb and put a stone in front of it. But it doesn't make a difference if you seal it up. If God says, I'm going to raise him up on first fruits, guess what? He's coming out the grave on first fruits. And that's exactly what happened. You can't stop the appointments of God, even though man tries to. And man tries in many different ways. And the ways they try is to try to go around the scripture and bring in traditions rather than teaching the word of God. And how many want to learn the word of God? So we got the seventh month Tishri on the what day of the month? The 10th. So we have the first day of the month would be what? On the first day of the month of Tishri would be what? Yom Teruah. I'm going to have to teach this thing all over again. And y'all know I will. And if I choose to do it today, your lunch is going to get cold. First day of the month, Tishri. What is that? Feast of Trumpets, Yom Teruah. On the 10th day, it's going to be Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. So we count those days, we get to the day that we're going to begin to celebrate that. And it's very important to understand that. I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 58 if you have a Bible with you. If not, it'll be up on the overhead. Now, we're going to deal with this Isaiah 58 because a lot of people don't understand fasting, and we want you to understand it. We want you to understand what it's all about. Very important to understand this. It's critical for us to grab hold to these principles and understand what God has established for us. Now, remember I said and when you speak in certain terms, at certain times and seasons that are going on, you'll use words. And those words will give indications on what's happening in the season. Somebody's talking about that, it just gives an indication, right? Let me try you out here. I'm going to try you out one more time. I did this the other day, and some of you were really good at it. We'll see how good you are right now. I'm going to make a gesture as far as with speaking, and you're going to tell me what time of the year, right? Okay? Jingle bell, jingle bell. Are y'all here? I had a Christmas pop over here, one over here, but not together. Right? Let's try that again. All right? Eggs. Y'all getting good. Let me tell you. Y'all are smart. So you see what I'm saying? You automatically know that. But I said, if I said trumpets, would you know Yom Teruah? If I talked about the scapegoat, or if I talked about the fast, if I said the fast, would you say the Yom Kippur? You see? That needs to change. Because we got our mind all wrapped tight around everything else. But when it comes to the timing of God, we don't know what's going on in the scripture, and people been in church for a long time. That's not good. And I want you prepared. I want you to know. We didn't come here to see if see each other. We come here to learn. This is a time for us to learn from the Word of God. And I want you ready for when the Lord returns. You'll be ready. Some, he'll come as a thief. But to you, he says, to you, I won't. Folk going around say, yeah, he'll be a thief tonight. We don't tell him when he's going to come. That's church folks saying that. And I'm going, okay, you better read your Bible because we know. There were ten virgins, five were wise and five were foolish. And so you got to keep up with the oil in your lamp. How do you understand that? So we got to keep up with that. So look at Isaiah 58. Now I'm going to read this and you're going to tell me what time of the year it is, right? Cry aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Yom Teruah. Uh-oh. Do you see that? And declare to my people their transgression and to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me day by day and delight to know my ways. As a nation that has done righteousness and has not forsaken the ordinances of their God. They ask me for just decisions. They delight in the nearness of God. Why have we fasted and you do not see? What time? What season? Yom Kippur. Why have we fasted and you do not see? We're going to answer that. Why have we humbled ourselves and you do not notice? Behold, on the day of your fast, you find your desire and drive hard all your workers. So he replies, on the day of your fast, you find your desire and you drive hard all your workers. Can that happen on Yom Kippur? No, why? Why can't it happen on Yom Kippur? Because he said there'll be a day of fast and there'll be no civil work on that day. So he says you want to fast by showing that you're fasting. You know, and who knows how to put your fast face on? You know. He said, you want to put your fast face on and you got your servants working all day. You want to know why I'm not answering you? There you go. What are we talking about? What's he? Now, we know right there in Isaiah, we're talking about Yom Kippur. We know that because of the language. And that's important when you're studying the scripture. He said, behold, you fast for contention and strife to strike with a wicked fist. You do not fast like you do today to make your voice heard on high. Uh-oh, now we know what fasting does. What does fasting do? It gets your voice heard on high. Is this helping anybody? I know some of you said, you know, Pastor, I got some questions about fasting. I hope I can answer them today. Because you need to know this stuff. This is important. You know, in the early church, people fasted all the time. Today, nobody wants to fast, but we want power.
That's it.
We want God to move. We want victory and this and that, but nobody wants to do what God's asking them to do. But we're going to change. How many wants to change that? Yeah. So notice this. In verse 5, he says, it is a fast like this which I chose, a day for a man to humble himself. Mm-hmm. Is it a fast like this? Is it for the bowing one's head like a reed, for the spreading out sackcloth and ash as a bed? Is that what you're doing? If so, you want everybody to see what you're doing? You walk in the streets and you're, and is that what you're doing? You do it, you spread out ashes in the street so everybody can see. What are they doing? Oh, they're fasting. Will you call this a fast? Even an acceptable day to the Lord? Will you call that a fast, even an acceptable day to the Lord? Verse 6. Is this not the fast which I chose, to loosen the bonds of the wicked, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke? Think about it. Anybody need this? Verse 7. Is it not to divide your bread with the hunger? So listen, in the midst of the fast, this is what he said. Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and do not hide yourself from your own flesh. So this is important. What is he saying? He said, I'm posing these questions for you to get you to realize that when you do this, this is why you do it. It's not a time for you to hoard it in and say, I'm not going to be willing to give anything. But it's a time for you to divide the bread. Fasting means you won't take it in. You'll divide it out to the hungry. The poor and the homeless you will help. And this is what he's saying. He's making these reflections because of what they were doing at the time. They were calling a fast, but they weren't living like they were fasting for God, even though they called it that. Because they put afflictions on the other people at the time, and it made them look like they were doing everything just perfect. Then your light will break out like a dawn, and your recovery will be speedy, spring forth, and your righteousness will go forth before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Now I want you to see this verse because it's important. When we do what God asks us to do on Yom Kippur, and we do it with the right heart attitude and the right spirit, there's some things that'll happen during that time of fasting. And this is what'll happen. And I'm telling you, we need these type of breakthroughs in the world today. He said, your light will break forth like the dawn. Some of you been in it, and it's been in the dark, and I've just got it through finished with this series, Power Over Darkness. Now, I want you to notice that every one of these series that we've been in, they're all still open. Why do I leave them open on the backside? Because they're all going to connect. I can assure you, every single one of them, it's like connecting the dots. They will all converge together, and you'll see them open up. He said, your recovery will be speedily spring forth. Anybody ready for some recovery to speedily spring forth? He said, your righteousness will go before you. Your righteousness will go before you. What does that mean? That means you'll begin to live in a way before folks meet you. They've already heard about the stand that you take for the Almighty. They already heard about it. You say, when does that happen? The Bible says that when the children of Israel begin to take the land, that the enemy said, we heard about y'all. We heard that, you know, y'all get together and pray and the sun stop. We heard about that. We heard when you talk to God, God listens to you. How many want that your relationship with God to not be something that you got to show somebody, but people are here of it because of the life that you live every day? The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Anybody need the glory of the Lord? Say, when you look into my glory, he said, you'll be instantly changed. And he says, I'm going before you, I'm behind you, and I'm on both sides. That was the prophecy. The prophecy is, I'm going before you, I'm behind you, and I'm on both sides. So the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. So many times we think that I just don't have time. I really want to get involved in church, and I got to fight this battle. And our focus is fighting forward all the time, and the ministry's over here. And so we're not going in that direction. We're constantly fighting off all of the attacks from the enemy, all of the tricks and all of the testings that come our way. But what you have to do is remember, you can't go forward in God until you turn in the direction where God's going and trust that he'll be your rear guard. He'll protect you back. He's got you. Amen? So verse 9, then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, here I am. Isn't that awesome? How do we get this? How do we get this working in our life? We get our fast right. We're doing it for one purpose, and that's to give God honor and glory and recognize it's a permanent statue. If you remove he said, here I am. If you remove the yoke from your midst and the pointing of fingers and speaking wickedness. That's a big deal here that we've got to work on. Remove the yoke from your midst. The pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness. These things shouldn't become the believer. Because we've moved on from that. Verse number 10. If you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desires of the afflicted, then your light will rise in darkness and your gloom will become like midday. How many know what's happening at midday? The sun is bright. It's shining. Your gloom will become as midday. Then he said this in verse 11. And the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places, and give strength to your bones, and you will be like a watered garden and spring of water whose waters do not fail. How many ready for that? That's what Jesus make a reference to. As soon as you read that, you go back to the reference that Jesus made in John. He said, if you believe as the Scripture has said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Spirit. He was speaking of that Pentecost that was about to come in the book of Acts. And this is important. Was that the first time that ever happened in the book of Acts? We see it happen at Mount Sinai when the Lord began to pour out the Spirit there at Mount Sinai. So these are events that we can connect together from one Testament to the next Testament so you and I can understand them. Number 12, and this ought to be familiar to everybody. Right here. I'm going to let you soak on that for a little while. If you've been here a while, those of you who haven't, I'll tell you what it's about. You ought to think about this verse right here because it's critical. Yes, we're talking about an issue with the seventh year. The prophecy said, within 7 years, you'll be unrecognizable. In the fourth year, something tragic happened to this peninsula. But in the seventh year, I asked the Lord, I said, give me a verse. And I posted it on the back. This still was basically a housing facility at that time. It was a temporary wall back here. And I posted this verse, did I not? In this verse, he said, those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. Anybody ready for this? Those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. And this is important. You will raise up the aged old foundations. The aged old foundations, you will raise them up. You know why they need to be raised up? Because they've been trampled upon. They've been pushed down. Everybody will say, well, we don't need that no more. Let me tell you, you're not going to see God if you don't go back to the aged old foundation. He didn't get rid of it, nor should anybody else get rid of it. We got to go back to the foundation that worked from the very beginning. And he said, let there be lights in the firmaments of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let it be for signs, for seasons, for days and years. Let them. We're not going to get around that. We're not going to change the appointed, the Moedim of God. And we're going to celebrate part of the Moedim. The appointed times, the appointed feast days is Yom Kippur. So we got to raise back up the aged old foundation. And you take a lot of heat from people. Yes, well, we New Testament folks. Well, I'm glad you are. Yeah. That means you heard the gospel. But you'll never see God if you don't raise up the old foundation that's been trampled down because Jesus paid for that final atonement for us. And one day, he's going to be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that'll happen on Yom Teruah. Listen, Yom Teruah is when that's going to be the crowning of the Molech, the crowning of the king. Anybody want to be there? You know, some folks like to go to church, especially if so-and-so come to town. Well, I could tell you they got one better than so-and-so. John put it this way. He said, there's one coming who's mightier than I. And I want to speak the words of John. I can tell you there's one coming who's mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not even worthy to unloose. There's one coming, and he'll be crowned King of Kings, and he'll sit on the throne of David, and he'll rule and reign. How many understand that? When is that going to happen? Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets. Then there's going to be one who's going to make a final atonement. The door will be closed, and when the door's closed, who gets in after the door's closed? No one. When the Ark of the Covenant, Noah's Ark was put together and God closed the door, how many got saved after that? None. So we don't want to be outside the door when the door gets closed. We want to be in. And that's what God's given us opportunity to do. So you will raise up the aged old foundation and you will be called the repairers of the breach. Repairers of the breach. Anybody ready for that? See, folks, we lose sight of this stuff sometimes. You got to go back. God spoke it. This is what he said it happened. This is the verse that the Lord gave me about that seventh year time. You'll be restorers of the, you'll restore the streets in which to dwell. How many want to be restorers? And get people to say, this is what it's all about. It's, you know, we know you're saved today. You're saved. But are you prepared for the return of the Lord? Are you going to be waiting for him? And this is important. You can go all the way to the end, and folks will miss God because they don't know what he's expecting of them. And that's to be a travesty to many people that's going on in the world today. Yom Kippur is another title, and we've been dealing with this, but I want to give you one verse of scripture here, or a couple of them. In Leviticus 16, 30 and 31 says this, "For it is on this day that atonement shall be made for you to cleanse you. You will be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It is to be a Sabbath, a solemn rest for you, that you may humble your souls." That's the fast right there. Humble your souls. "It is a permanent statute." Again, it says it again. It is a what? Permanent statute. So this is talking about that Yom Kippur day on that particular day. The Day of Atonement. Again, it's another word that is used. And listen what it says in Leviticus 23, 26 through 32. "And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, on exactly," everybody see that word? "On exactly the 10th day of the 7th month is going to be the Day of Atonement." The 10th day of the 7th month. On exactly the 10th day of the 7th month. So what is that? The 10th day. That's going to be Yom Kippur. That's the Day of Atonement. It's going to be on the 10th day of the 7th month. "It shall be a holy convocation." That word convocation, again, is a rehearsal. What do you have rehearsals for? To get ready for the real thing. Amen? That's what you do them for. And in the rehearsals, you know, I've done a lot of rehearsals. We have, whatever's going on, whatever we have scheduled here, we may have to do a rehearsal. And some of you, I did rehearsals with you. When you got married, we did rehearsals. Because some of you had 25 people in your wedding, you know. And so we had to figure out where everybody was going to fit. Maybe I need to stay on this side, huh? So we had rehearsal. And while we were having a rehearsal, I watched people and they just, you go in the song and okay, we got to do that again. And so I got my little notes and I'm changing mine. Okay, how many songs? 12? Okay. So we had rehearsal. And I noticed something about rehearsals. None of them go right. That's why it's called rehearsal. But come the day. Come that day. It's like, you know what? You done forgot about all the rehearsal days, and you're in that moment. And that's what we're doing right now, or we should be. We should be having rehearsal. I'm safe in saying this. If we went back to last September, I wonder how many celebrated the Day of Atonement or Yom Kippur. Think about that. What about 5 years ago? What about 10 years ago? Some of you have been saved in here 30, 40 years. How about all those years? Have you ever celebrated or took time out to have a fast on Yom Kippur and the Day of Atonement according to the permanent statute? Oh, no, I don't know. You know, we just got Jesus. What if I told you he did it? We love Paul. What if I told you he did it? Do you understand my point? They all did it except for the New Testament church. Somehow we got something better. And it's been a lie. So we got to raise up the aged old foundation. Do you understand that? We got to raise that thing back up, and we got to say, you know what? We got to get back to the principles of God and what God said, because we won't be ready. And that's why you see that you have so many. Now, some folks, they won't listen to anything I'm saying. They'll say, oh, well, you can't pay no mind to him. Mm-hmm. He's from the bayou. Mm-hmm. What does he know about Hebrew roots and all this stuff? He don't know nothing about that. Well, I may not, but I know one thing. I read my Bible. And I know about that, and I'm seeing what God's saying, and I think we've drifted away from that. Amen? How many know we got to get it back together? So keep this in mind when you're studying, because this is important for us to understand. It'll be a holy convocation, a rehearsal for you, and you shall humble your souls and present an offering by fire to the Lord. You shall do not any work on that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make atonement on your behalf before the Lord your God. If there is any person who will not humble himself on this same day, he shall be cut off from his people. As for any person who does any work on this same day, that person will be destroyed from among his people. You shall do no work at all. It is to be a perpetual statute throughout your generations in all your dwelling places. It is to be a Sabbath of complete rest to you, and you shall humble your souls on the ninth of the month at evening. Notice that. When do you humble your souls? At the ninth, at evening. So why are we going to start tomorrow in the evening? Because that's what he said. At evening. To the next evening. Do you see that? This is clear stuff. So we're going to do that at evening. From evening until evening, you shall keep your Sabbath. So what? Well, how is this a Sabbath? So we think the Sabbath is the seventh day of rest. But here is a holy high Sabbath. It's additional Sabbath. And should we keep the Sabbath? Should we? Think about it. So what about this one? What if I show you there were many of them in the scripture that God called high and holy Sabbaths that we got to keep? Think about it. They're there. And so these are things that I think we have to take into consideration. Amen? Look at the word atonement with me. The word atonement. Atonement is the English word for atonement, originally meant at one ment, or at one with, being like being in harmony with someone. And in this case, it means to be at one with God through the atonement that was made possible by the substitutionary death of Jesus on our behalf. So I want you to think about that definition. The Hebrew word for atonement is kephar. Well, hence where we get the word Yom Kippur. So I want you to keep that in mind, with the verb being kafar, and means to cover. It means to purge, make reconciliation, to cover or coat with pitch. That's what the word means. Genesis 3:21. See that? Genesis 3:21. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and clothed them, or kafar, covered them. He covered them. Why did he have to cover them? Because they sinned, and they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. I mean, no, you cannot have a self-atonement. You might say, well, you know, the way I do it doesn't make no difference the way you think you do it. You cannot have a self-atonement. That's one already supplied for you. Amen. So what God did, he come down and he says, listen, fig leaves won't do, but there's going to be a life that's going to be lost in order for you to be covered. So he had to go out, and the first atonement was done by God when he took the animals, took their life, the blood was shed, took their coats, and wrapped Adam and Eve in clothes. First atonement. And this is something we think we can just do away with. You ever listen, there was a price paid. Jesus paid a horrific price to get his blood shed for you and I for the atonement. And we can't never forget that. We can never forget that. That's why we should be celebrating at this time of the year the atonement, Yom Kippur. We ought to be, all of us, we ought to be so passionate about it. It ought to be at the top of our list, a highlight. We ought to be celebrating this day. Yet, we live in a society, 95% of the church world doesn't know anything about this. That's not good, especially when we live in a society that's going doing the things that it's doing. Will God judge a nation? He will. And remember, the atonement is very important. Even though you can have a personal encounter with Christ and the atonement be satisfied in your personal relationship, God will judge a nation. Does it rain on the just and the unjust? Does it? Yes, it does. Because collectively, we're all looked at God as a nation. He said, well, you know, it won't hurt me. Well, listen, it hurts everybody. How many of you know when Katrina come and wiped through this area, not all the Christians' houses stayed? When I checked, they were all gone. Both the righteous and the unrighteous. Why? Because that's the way the world, that's the way the word works. It works that way. God don't, He won't change that. Now, what are we supposed to do as believers? We gotta push through the rubble, and we gotta pull ourselves back up out of that and declare that God is the victor, no matter what we go through. Amen. What does the world do? They curse God. I can't believe this. But we gotta recognize that God is God, and we have to make sure that we continue to do that. So in this account, Adam and Eve sins. They sew fig leaves together, not sufficient enough. You can have no self-atonement. So what does God do? Takes the life of an animal for the first time. For the very first time, an innocent animal, life is taken, coats taken off, wrapped around them, and now they're covered in kafar. That's to cover them and wrap them. So keep that in mind. Next, Genesis 6. Here's one of our dots connecting. Genesis 6. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them, and behold, I'm about to destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms and shall cover it inside and out with pitch. One of the things that kafar means, that word, atonement, means to cover with pitch. So what happens if you build, my grandfather was an expert at boat building when it came to wood boats in Cyprus. And he'd put a boat together and it'd take a while because you couldn't just go and, it wasn't like putting fiberglass in a mold. Every board had to be cut. Everything had to be sanded. Everything had to be plain and fit as tight as possible because something happens as you're building. The time it takes, something happens. The wood begins to dry and a crack starts to appear. So what they would have to do is they would have to caulk it. They would take cotton and caulk it. And then they would put water in it. And they would let it to try to swell, because if you launch that brand new boat, it would sink. So it took time. You had to. So here's Noah building an ark. How many know wood don't change? It's wood. It took time for him to build that. 120 years. And so God says, listen, don't put that boat in without no pitch on it. Because you're going to go down with everybody else. How many know God's smart? Listen, if you want to follow somebody smart, you need to follow God. He thinks about everything. That's why we call him God. Amen? He said, you put pitch inside and out. Because you're going to need to be atoned for when that boat gets in the water. Is anybody here? You're going to need the atonement. So we see the atonement all throughout the scripture. You're going to need the pitch. kephar, you're going to need to be covered with some pitch. How many of you know that's something important? Valuable. Let me tell you why most folks get in trouble after they come to the Lord. They come to the Lord, and they in church, and they singing, "How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God." And they go home, and they're just happy as can be. And they don't realize they've been drying up a little bit. They come back next Sunday. "How great is our God." And then they go back out. And they say, "Uh-oh, I done sprung me a leak." And the devil just, while they singing how great their God is, he's just easing in. Easing in. Listen, it's more than singing how great your God is. You got to be involved in working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I know you're saved, but if you don't watch yourself, there are things that will happen where the enemy will get in, and before you know it, the whole thing will go down. Do you understand that? You have to be careful. So when am I supposed to do all these things? As often as possible, you got to give God the praise. You got to give God glory for it. Listen, how many days in a week? How many lights in the menorah? Remember, it's all seven, so you can't miss this, right? I'm going to say it, and it's all seven. Because I said, how many lights in the menorah? It's all seven. How many millenniums back to the garden? I'm going to say that one again. How many millenniums back to the garden? Anybody want to go back to the garden? So how many times should I, in a week, atone or allow the atonement of God through what Jesus did work in my life? You understand? Every day of the week, I should allow the atoning blood of Jesus to work in my life. Because I need to be covered every day with pitch. So you get up in the morning and say, "Lord, just not the skin of animals this time," right? He wrapped Adam and Eve, but I want to be wrapped in the blood of Jesus. That's why he said, put on Christ. You got to put him on like a garment. You got to wear him like a garment. Amen? So hopefully you're seeing this as we continue in this. The Day of Atonement is a new beginning, being born again. I mean, thank God that we could be born again. It's a new beginning. We're going to stop right here on this one, and we'll start tonight. I'm going to talk about every sin was just covered until Jesus came and paid it in full. Every sin was just covered until Jesus came and paid it in full. And I'll read from that text and we'll go through. I have many more that I want to show you. Psalms 103, verse 12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed thy transgression from us." Amen? I mean, thank God for that. So we're going to be dealing with this continually. I'm going to talk about the scapegoat. The Azazel, you want to be here for that. Because it's going to be important that you understand there were two goats. And one is going to be led for the sacrifice, and the other is going to be led out of the camp bearing the sin. So before the goat would leave, the priest would put both hands and just confess all the sins of the people. And then the priest would take the goat, and he would go out the camp. And one of the things that they had to adjust for was they found out when he would go out with the goat and he would return back, he'd look and the goat would be following him. So tonight we're going to be talking about how to stop the goat from following you. So I'm convinced some folks got you. I sure hope your goat ain't outside today. Out in the parking lot. Because we're going to show you tonight how to quit that. Right? You know what you did? Because it's bearing the sin. So some people check it out at the door, come in. "How great is our God." Right? And then they pick it up at the end. You know what they did? They went way out the camp, 10 to 12 miles, and went to a cliff. And they shoved that baby off. And that's what we're going to learn to do. Amen? So keep that in mind as we go through all of this. You'll see this. It's going to be incredible. Let's stand together. As we have our service tonight, we're going to also remind everyone to keep being prayerful. Starting on Monday evening at 7 o'clock when you come. That Monday at 7, that'll be when the fast begins. So whatever you're going to consume up to that point, enjoy yourself. Come 7 o'clock, we're going to ask everyone to participate in the Yom Kippur day of fast. And we're going to fast till the next day in that evening. And at that time, we'll break the fast. We're going to be gathered here together. We're going to have the bread. We're going to have the wine. We're going to take communion together. And we're going to enjoy the presence of the Lord on that day. And we're going to break the fast. And I want you to understand this is a very critical time for us to humble our souls. That's what he said, humble your soul. And so I pray that you grab hold to that. And if you're here today and this is all new to you, you've never heard any of this, you can ask someone in the back. They'd be glad to give you the entire series. There's many tapes back there. They'd be glad to give them to you for you to listen to it. No Christian should be on this planet without this information. Because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Some will say, haven't we prophesied in your name? Haven't we cast out devils in your name? Haven't we healed the sick in your name? He'll look at them and say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I know you not. We don't want you to ever hear those words. And the way we do that is we've got to keep up with honoring the Lord in the way that he said. He said, these are the Lord's feasts. They're his feasts and they're perpetual statutes that we must continue to celebrate. Do we have to sacrifice the scapegoat anymore? No, because we have Jesus who took on all of our iniquities and all of our transgressions. Everything was put on him. And he was crucified, taken out of the city. Was he not? He was taken out of the city and hung on a cross. And we're thankful for that. So I want you to know today that we have been atoned for. But that does not erase the fact that God said we must remember that atonement. And that's the part that we have to do. And that's important. If we don't, then we're accountable to because we never remember we didn't do what God said for us to do. And if you notice this morning, I read out of the Word of God. So it's there. It's not coming from some other book. I read it from the Word of God. That's where it's at. All that information is right there in the Word. And it's something that we should know. So we want to pray and ask God. Definitely want to keep us in a spirit of repentance. I'll deal with more of that today about repentance. How many times should we repent? I gave you just an insight of it. So how many millenniums back to the garden? 7 millenniums. How many lights on the menorah? 7. And there's a reason you light that. You light it from one side to the other. Maybe I could talk about that. These are all different teachings that we can go over. So how many days in a week? How many know 7 significant? How many spirits of God? How many churches? How many angels were sent? How many trumpets? Remember that. So how many times should we allow ourselves to fall on our face before God in a week time? 7. You know, folks that have a lifetime of sin come to church and somebody say, I see that hand. And that's it? No, you can see that hand. You better teach somebody. They have to repent. We got to repent before God. And part of the understanding of atonement is that repentance, saying, Lord, I'm sorry. And accepting what Christ has done for you, but always remembering that it's in the book. It's in the book. It's recorded in the book. Everything that I've ever done in my life has been recorded. And one of the days, the final day of atonement, the Yom Kippur, then all of that gets erased. How incredible that's going to be. And you get invited into the kingdom to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Isn't that amazing? God is so good to us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to come and be in your presence. God, you see the people that are here today. I pray, God, that we can repent and we can be so sorry, Lord, for the times that we've spent in the church and in the Word. Yet we fail to recognize these wonderful feast days that you put before us so we can recognize the time in which the Lord will return. So we ask you, Father, that you would forgive us, that we never, ever want to do anything, Lord, that would hurt anything that you have established to be something that would show us and direct us in the end time. So God, we ask you, Lord, that this would become real to us, the opening of our understanding. It would just become clear as could be so we can continue to do what you called us to do. We pray, God, right now for every person that's in this room. God, that you would touch their lives. You said my people perish for the lack of knowledge. And God, we don't want to have anybody without knowing, God, to understand what you do and how you do it. God, you have an order. You have a set way that you do things. And God, I'm asking you, Lord, that the people that are here, that you would begin to open up their understanding, God, to see your word as you have laid it out, God, that how serious a matter this is. We can't gain access into the kingdom by church association just because our name is on some register in a church. We get there because we have kept your word. We've kept your commandments. We followed your statutes and we've honored you on a daily basis. And that's what we want to do. So I'm asking you, Lord, the words that were spoken here today, let it go on good ground. Let it be planted on good ground, a seed in the lives of every person's here. God, as days ahead of us come, we can begin to rise up and honor. God, there shouldn't be a person here that's in this room that wouldn't recognize come tomorrow evening that it's Yom Kippur, a day of fast. Every person, Lord, has heard your word. We can't have no excuse, God, that we have neglected to follow through what we've learned today. So I'm asking you, Lord, empower us and strengthen us. And Lord, let us grab hold to it with urgency that we'll follow through with what you have asked from us. We want to make sure we're doing it the way you want us to do it. So we thank you, Father. We honor you. We give you the glory and the praise. We ask all this power and strength and authority and revelation to be given to us by the mighty name of Jesus, your only begotten Son, who came and gave his life for us all. We thank you for it, giving you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What a great God. Isn't he good?